Hello, hello, and welcome to the Wing Women podcast, hosted by best friends and journalists, Charlie Gowans-Eglinton, that's her, and Frankie Gradden, that's me.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, Shanks, how are you?
Happy 1st of December.
Have you got an advent calendar?
No.
Neither have I.
I'm livid. Ben specified which advent calendar he wanted. Yesterday I went out to two different shops to get it. Did I get one this morning?
No. Wait, so you got Ben's?
Yeah, I got Ben the lint one that he requested. He did not get me the Tony's Chocolonely, or however you say that, calendar that I wanted.
It's enormous. My sister's got it.
Yum, yum, yum. Before we go on, I've got a joke I want to tell you, but it's dirty and childish. Ready?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a parrot on your shoulder?
No.
Have you ever had an eagle on your hand?
No.
Have you ever had a budgie on your head?
No.
Open your mouth and show me your tongue. Bet you've had a cock or two on that.
So weird.
Isn't that awful? Retell it all you want.
I loved it.
Thanks, pal. What have you been up to?
Not very much, but have been dyeing my eyebrows.
They look very nice.
Thanks. I use Just For Men beard dye.
Which is such a good eyebrow.
I saw it on Instagram. Yeah.
Yes to that. Okay, so what happens? Just For Men beard dye. Any specific shade?
I think mine's just mid-brown.
Standard.
Something. It comes in two little tubes that you do an equal blob of each in this little plastic tray that it comes with. And then you mix them together with the bottom end of the brush it gives you. However, don't use that brush. I used it the first time. Mm. It's really large because it's meant for beards. So I just got loads on my skin.
Gave yourself a Frida Kahlo Baxton.
It was intense. So I just got an old mascara. Washed him. Use that instead. Brush it in. Leave it on for 5 minutes. Occasionally forget. And then leave it on for like half an hour. And nothing that bad happens, like my hair doesn't fall out. However, it will then dye the skin. So for a couple of days, I look mental.
You're a bit angry birds.
So I'd recommend not doing it right before you go out, but that is when I do mine, because that's when I'm like, oh my God, my eyebrows are invisible to the naked eye. But I actually really like it because it means when I wake up, I've got eyebrows.
You can just wake up and go.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I've just had enough this week.
Okay.
Yeah, just everything.
Okay, cool.
I've been quietly raging all week. I don't know if something's going on in the moon, but I'm done with everything.
Might it be to do with Ben not getting you an advent calendar and telling you a joke about cocks in your mouth?
That was the icing on the cake this morning. No, I did actually lose it this morning. Probably the root of it was the advent calendar. Everything's a juggle. I've been a mum for a year. When does it stop? Never. Don't get me wrong, I love him so much, but like,
So you've been a mum to Ben for 5 years now.
Yeah, going on six.
And sometimes children are thankless and they don't get you an advent calendar for the 1st of December.
Rude. But I've been cheering myself up tremendously by binging Selling Sunset season 4. Mm-hmm. Have you got involved?
I have watched some, yes.
I love it so much. And I think I watched season 4 in 2 sittings.
What do you like about it?
I love the glamour. Mm-hmm. That really ritzy, glitzy, Hollywood, flashy.
It's nouveau.
Bling, bling, bling.
Yes.
Love the houses. Because they're just ultra. In one episode, Vanessa, she was showing this Malibu beach pad that was insane. Ocean views, jacuzzi, that two kitchen thing. Didn't realise in America, in superhouses, they have the show kitchen and then a chef's kitchen at the back. So you don't actually use the show kitchen, it's just there.
Well, that's for people to see you cook if you make a piece of toast, right?
Yeah,
and then you send your chef into the chef's kitchen.
Yeah.
Weird.
Fantastic. Well, I am a little bit annoyed with Selling Sunset. I mean, not that it's real life, and why did I expect anything more? But in this series, Christine Quinn, aka the villain, has a baby. And by her own admission, it's a really traumatic birth. She ends up having an emergency cesarean. Sounds fucking awful. But the storyline goes, and I'm not convinced this is real. I'm sure this is just how they've edited it. But either way, the storyline goes that she is back at work within 2 days after having this kid. She's in high heels and a miniskirt.
Yeah.
What the fuck? If she had a cesarean, she's in knickers up to her armpits and a stretchy waistband and not in high heels. That I just didn't find helpful. I'd emerge a cesarean. I think already that expectation for women to bounce back, that horrible phrase, is all over the media. And you'd think we sort of move past that. We've been much more open about conversations, and Instagram is meant to be all about the realities of things. we're meant to have this movement of authenticity. And then stuff like that happens. And I know it's make-believe, but it's still annoying. Because then you start thinking, oh, well, she does look amazing. Does everyone need to be doing that? Why can she do that and others can't? La, 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 la. It's bullshit.
I watched an episode and watching her climb some steps in her shoes, I thought, do you know what? This woman is going through a lot here. And if you feel that you need to wear those shoes when you've just had a baby and you cannot walk in them and you're on really high steps, there was a moment where she looked freaked out by her shoes. And I just thought, I'm just going to opt out of any of that. I mean, I've not had a baby, but maybe I should start wearing nappies. Why don't we just all do the easiest thing for us, right? Embrace the post-cesarean nappy and a nice comfy shoe that we can walk in.
Heaven. I read the interview because she was on the cover of Style on Sunday, and there was an interview with Camilla Long, and Christine was talking about the filming just before she had the kid. So she went into labour early at 35 weeks and they were filming the day of, and the episode is in the series. The episode that was filmed just before Christine was giving birth, she was in one of her insane outfits, tight, short, high heels. And apparently in the interview, she said she could barely stand up. And I just thought, that poor woman, who's making her do
Why
that?
Why has she done that?
I don't know.
But does she feel she needs to do that? Does she feel like if they saw her in a pair of trainers, would just not be interested in her anymore?
But then I guess that's her brand. And I don't know how much room there is for the realities of being pregnant and being a new mum in that world. Do people want to see that also? That's the thing, because as much as I was outraged by it, and upset for her that she had to put on this PVC miniskirt and stilettos 2 seconds after having her stomach open, as I've just said, I watch it for the glitz and the glamour. I don't want to see a new mum in jogging bottoms and trainers. I could look in the mirror and see that. I want to switch on my TV and see some blonde glamazon wearing a handkerchief tied on with a piece of string. What does that say about me? Who knows?
I don't know, but I also want to talk about TV.
Go on.
And Just Like That.
Oh, yeah. The new trailer's out.
Another new trailer. I'm still not that interested. What I am interested in is the way they are writing out Samantha is by saying that she's moved to London. We are not going to get to see this because she just refused to be part of the show flat out. So we do not get to see Samantha in London. However, I like this idea so much. Where do you think she'd be going? What do you think she'd be doing? Is she like a Primrose Hiller? Do you think she's hanging out with billionaires? Is she in Soho House? Or is
no,
she...
No, I think she's friends with Nigella.
Yes.
I think she's North London, Hampstead.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she's left her high octane, perched on a bar stool, giving DHL delivery men blowjob days behind her.
Is it DHL? Surely it's FedEx.
Or UPS, I don't know, a courier. Who knows? A lot's happened.
DHL's not a very elite, so. Okay, yes,
so
I
think she's mother earthing it, but she mother earthing it. Up in Hampstead, she's doing some wild swimming.
Nude wild swimming.
Obviously. But maybe with just a hat.
Like a little. I love that for her. She just arrives in a fur coat and then drops it on the ground, nude wild swims.
Yeah. Perfect.
Great.
And then I think she's going up and down the high street. She's going to those shops where, you know, you order some cheese and they wrap it in that nice waxed paper.
Okay.
And then a little sheet tote of fresh veg. And then she's going around to Nigella's for like a kitchen supper. And that's what she'll call
it. Slut spaghetti.
Slut spaghetti. Oh my God. And they just eat some molten cheese toasties together.
Yes.
Lovely. God. What a nice life for her.
Oh, I'm so glad. I was worried about where she was, you know, what she was up to. I'm just delighted to hear about it. Do you think she dresses more London?
Yeah, I think she's probably quite into outerwear.
Mm.
I think she'd do a barber. I think she'd do an equestrian boot.
Yeah, maybe like an Alexa Chung barber.
Nice.
Yeah, I can see a bit of that. Jimmy Choo over the knee boots maybe happening.
Great.
Jeans. I bet she loves jeans now. That's very London, isn't it?
The London.
Oh, great. I'm so glad we've straightened out for me. I'm feeling very nostalgic with Sex and the City coming back. Britney's free. Lindsay Lohan's engaged.
So she is.
Paris is happily married.
Married. Her forever starts now.
Doing some kind of cooking show. Keanu Reeves told an anecdote recently about how he turned up to Sandra Bullock's house with champagne and chocolate truffles because she'd never tried them early in their careers.
How nice.
Paul Rudd has been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
I'm there for that.
When he was in Clueless.
Yeah. Mm. What a hunky dunk.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yes.
Oh, in other Thirst Trap news, Magic Mike 3 is coming back. Don't even. I love Magic Mike so much.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. I know that. But that first film changed me. It actually made me break up with my then boyfriend. Because I've never fancied my boyfriend as much as I fancy this fictional character.
What happens in Magic Mike 2?
No idea. Right. I've definitely watched it. Some more stripping. I couldn't tell you. I don't know how the story evolves. I don't really care if the story evolves or not. I just want Channing Tatum, who is my embarrassing crush. But God, I fancy him so much. I just want him on a stage in a cap dancing to Pony, which is like my ultimate horny fantasy.
I don't get it. You know I'm not. I'm attracted to
I know, like a
unfit
skinny,
men.
Skinny pain writer. I've
grown out of that a little bit, but that's not for me. Last Y2K thing.
Mm.
Have you also seen Emily Ratajkowski is doing a book tour in the UK?
Yeah.
She was in Book Bar.
I know.
Right? At Highbury Local. It opened in lockdown.
Yeah.
Emirata was there and she was wearing a Jamiroquai hat.
Mental.
Oh my God. Somebody called JK. What's he up to? Phenomenal. Brown faux fur bucket hat.
Mm.
Hers was like £400.
No way.
Faux fur. It's from a designer called Emma Bruin. I found it on Instagram. It feels very of this era anyway.
Chic. Talking about big hats, did you watch any of Adele on ITV?
No.
She did a ITV special and Boy George was in the audience. I know he's always been a fan of the hat, but you know those Pharrell hats that are just sort of ginormous. I don't even know what they are.
She's so rude in a shared space.
Right? No one's been able to see live music in forever. And it's Adele. Of all the people you want to see right now in the world, it's Adele. That concert would have been amazing. And then Boy George comes along, sits in front of you with his ginormous hat.
I mean, he is Boy George. But also, maybe he was having a hair moment disaster.
Maybe. Also, at the Adele concert, have you seen videos of Emma Thompson dancing?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
I've basically just seen the meme, so I don't feel like I need to see the actual show.
No, you don't. They've memed every single section of her. It was when Rolling in the Deep comes on and she's hopping away, and then there's just a moment where she's like, I can't stand this anymore. She gets up, she's beckoning people to get up with her, and then she's doing a real, I don't even know what this move is. I'm just shaking my wrist.
It's like a maraca.
Yeah, invisible maracas. I'm really going for it. And I love her for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to any Christmas parties, which I'm not, I'd be channeling her.
I bet she'd get on with Samantha Jones.
Yes. She'd go wild swimming in her fur coat as well.
I don't know if Emma would wear fur.
Oh, true.
Maybe like a floor-length puffer coat.
Talking of fashion, did you watch any of the red carpet action from the Fashion Awards on Monday?
I've had a little scroll.
Highlights. Oh, Gillian Anderson in Gabriella Hearst. Basically just a black sheet, but cut in a fantastic figure, hugging but modest still, flowing lines, bit 70s, great hair and makeup, this big pendant thing. I think she is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I also liked Gabriella Union's big line number. I thought that was good.
There were some good colours about, weren't there? Some good bright colours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I do appreciate.
I also enjoyed Kris Jenner's approach of just wearing a padded Tommy Hilfiger duvet on the red carpet, because Monday night was bitter.
No.
Did you not?
No.
At least she's warm.
Some people were semi-naked. And Kris Jenner does not strike me as a woman who dresses for practicality.
That is true.
So I don't think she chose it for that reason. I did not understand it. However, Billy Piper.
Yes.
In icy blue, Vivian Westwood.
Also, I don't feel like I've seen Westwood on the red carpet for a long time. That looked great. And I liked that there was some cleavage.
Like seeing a boob.
Yeah, because I feel like boobs have not been the thing since the mid-noughties. So, hello, a bit of tit was quite nice. Just to change the mood a bit, you know?
Yeah, it's good to see a corset worn by someone with boobs. And that's okay. That it's not just for the flatter-chested women.
Babes are back.
With a vengeance, apparently. Have you read anything good this week?
No.
I've read. Siren Kale has written a piece for The Guardian called People Are Nasty as Hell on There, The Battle to Close Tattle, The Most Hate-Filled Corner of the Web.
Tattle.
This is so weird.
Have you ever been on it?
Well, actually, yes. When there was a big news story a while back, I think I was fact-checking something, and so I went on looking for it, and it's so peculiar. It's like Mumsnet meets the dark web.
It's savage.
Are you a regular tattler?
No, I'm not. But a few years ago, I got told about it. So out of curiosity, went on and was horrified at what was going on. I mean, I know the internet is savage and we've both written pieces and had the comment section underneath been a bloody hotbed of insults. But this is next level. What always amazes me about these things is, where do people find the time? I wonder what gets you so riled that you then need to offload on this forum.
It's a really peculiar culture and a really peculiar community, because it is a community. It's huge and people are really engaged in it, and it is constantly used. I mean, I've just opened it up on my laptop next to us, and some of the threads on here have 1.8 million messages. People are obsessed and they're furious, and what is interesting to me is that a lot of the people they're angry with are not mega celebrities. They're small influencers or journalists or people in the public eye, but not in a huge way. And there's always been really terrifying stalker culture around celebrities. But for there to be thousands of people who are angry about the same Instagram person who's not tagged a bottle of wine as a freebie, but they think it's a freebie. Is it school gates? Anger? Like, where did this come from? And is this a completely new phenomenon?
I think people have always liked to hate people. It kind of links in with Selling Sunset, and especially Christine Quinn being the villain. We've had this whole history in TV, in media, of there being villainous people. I feel like people particularly like villainous women. It's that bitch that people love to hate, and that bitch character. And there seems to be this real appetite for it, and certainly without Christine Selling Sunset would not be what it is. We go there to watch her behaviour and hate on it. And this is a similar thing. People are following influencers who they obviously don't like and then keep commenting about them. I'm trying to think, why is it that I like watching Christine Quinn on TV and being outraged by her? Is it some sort of outlet? Does it make me feel better about myself? Does it make me feel better that I don't have friends like that? What is it that appeals to us so much about that? I think the tricky thing with influencers is that there's this movement of authenticity, and everyone is falling over themselves to be authentic and real. And I suppose when something is perceived as not authentic, that's when people get incredibly upset about it. Maybe they feel like they're being fooled or tricked.
What boggles me is the scale and the fact that somebody's saying something vile and completely disgusting and horrible isn't met with, I think maybe you're reading too much into this, pal. It's just an Instagram post. It's met with so many other people that feel the same, that feel this anger. And, you know, if you read a Miss Marple and there's a poison pen in a village terrorising people, ruining their lives by saying so-and-so is having an affair with so-and-so and she's a sham and blah, 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 which is the same thing. It's basically just calling people out and saying that you're pretending or that people don't see the real you. But it used to be isolated incidents, and the scale of this I find really mind-boggling. But why do we have this tall poppy syndrome, and why do people need to tear down?
I think the British media particularly has thrived off building people up and tearing them down. It's like the whole Meghan Markle thing. We made her the new sort of people's princess, but as soon as someone decided she'd done something wrong, she became this outcast, and her online trolling has been ridiculous.
Hers is disgustingly racist.
You know, she's one of so many women that get torn down. And I know there are male influencers, but I think Instagram has been a place where women can build their profiles and build an absolute fortune. It's been a real opportunity for a lot of women to make a living for themselves. And I just think it's incredibly sad that so much of the vitriol gets directed towards them.
Well, in Siren's piece, which is brilliant and everyone should read it, she's spoken to lots of people who've been targeted on Tattle. And she speaks to this influencer called Katie Hayes, who's 29, who's from the Wirral. She put up an Instagram of some non-alcoholic Prosecco while she was pregnant. And Katie says to Siren, "I thought social services were going to take my baby off me. I had to ring the local authority for advice on what to do. If it wasn't for me being pregnant, I wouldn't be here today. I was suicidal."
What happened?
Users on Tattle, this piece says, are sharing people's addresses. They were calling the police when they thought people were breaking lockdown. They're really going after people and trying to ruin their lives. And it's quite scary.
It's really scary. That poor woman.
Well, she put up a bottle of Prosecco.
But it was non-alcoholic.
Yeah, but people like to imagine the worst.
Yeah.
And if they want to think something bad of you, they will. Whatever you do.
And I do think this is where the social media platforms need to step in. I understand that these are platforms for a degree of freedom of speech and it's for people to express themselves. Our comments and thoughts aren't policed, and I understand that. But I think when it gets to that level of dangerousness, then I think that's where things need to step in. I am amazed that Tattle is allowed to exist. And maybe it's pointless because these comments would just pop up elsewhere. Maybe it's better to have them all in one place. But I think when it gets to death threats and when it gets to someone being scared that they're going to have their kid taken away from them.
Shocking.
Poor woman. Also, just to say, non-alcoholic Prosecco is absolutely disgusting.
I'm so sorry.
Whatever she was trying to sell you, don't buy it. I can tell you, it's minging.
Have you eaten any mince pies from an investigation?
Yeah, you will be really pleased with me. I furthered my investigation into mince pies. I've hit up Tesco's. The winners are the Tesco normal range.
Winners of all mince pies. Or the Tesco winner.
Winners of all mince pies I've tried so far, which admittedly are just Sainsbury's and Tesco's.
Right.
The normal Tesco mince pies, £6 for a pound.
Okay.
Delicious.
What's good about them?
Flaky pastry. Mm-hmm. A dusting of sugar on top.
Icing sugar.
No, granular sugar. Ooh. No, really nice. The middle is oozy, but nice and sultanary, not too dry. I think my issue with specifically Christmas food is when it gets too posh, people start fucking around with stuff. Remember when, like, Heston put a clementine in a Christmas pudding?
Heston.
Bog off.
He has gone quiet.
He mucked around with food just too much. Don't play with your food. Just eat it. Although, actually, in further food perversion news, I bought a jar of peanut butter Marmite.
No.
It's nice.
No. What does it look like, peanut butter or Marmite?
Peanut butter. And then it's got that umami kick.
I like peanut butter. I like Marmite. I don't think I want them combined.
It's really nice. Anyway, Tesco's £6 for a pound.
In other bun news, Frankie and I both independently got sent. It was a free gift, but it's not sponsored. Don't tattle us. Some buns from Buns From Home. And they deliver nationwide. The bakery, I think, is in West London.
Oh my God, they were so good.
They were so good. So, obviously I live alone and I got sent a box of six. And I had a small panic because I'm not great with willpower. And I potentially could have just eaten them all without noticing and then felt really sick and sad that the buns were gone. I gave two to my downstairs neighbours.
Generous.
Ate one, heated it up for 12 minutes in the oven at 140 as recommended on the card that came with the buns. Delicious. And then froze the other three. Who knew? So good. So I've had two of them since. Woke up on Saturday morning, put a bun in the oven.
Right.
And suddenly I felt like I was in a bougie cafe. I was in my own flat, just in a pair of pants.
Better.
Yeah. Which was your favourite one?
Chocolate nut.
There was chocolate hazelnut, there was cinnamon, and there was cardamom. Mm. I think cardamom might have been my favourite.
Yeah. Covered in sugar, but still not sweet enough. There you go. I also wanted to say I watched something great on telly.
Oh, great.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah,
on Netflix.
I have heard about this.
So it's about the musical theatre writer who is called Jonathan Larson, and he wrote Rent and some other stuff. But Rent was his big name one, ran in the West End for ages. And this is based on him writing Tick, Tick, Boom, which is also a musical that he wrote, and his life story. It's on the cusp of him turning 30 and him basically having an existential crisis. And Andrew Garfield plays Jonathan. It's musical, which I'm a bit...
I hate musicals, about, so I won't be watching.
But, well, I'm the same, but it is really good. Andrew Garfield apparently couldn't sing when he got cast, so he spent a year teaching himself to sing and play the piano. He's actually amazing. Vanessa Hudgens is in it as well. She sounds great. It's in New York. It's in the very early 90s. It's quite vibey. It's directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, amongst other stuff. It's really great. I'd really recommend it. Really sadly, he dies when he's 35, which is heartbreaking because he was a musical theatre genius, and I'm sure he would have gone on to do lots and lots of stuff, but I would really recommend watching that.
Okay, my recommendation this week is an article from the New York Times, and the rabbit hole that I have gone down this week, I would also recommend you reading about because I think it is so interesting and shocking and important to read about, is what's happening surrounding the author Alice Sebold at the moment. So she is the author of The Lovely Bones.
Oh my God, yes!
And she also wrote a memoir of a sort called Lucky. And that book, which has been until recently in the process of being made into a film, is in part about the fact that she was sexually assaulted when she was a freshman at university. And she went to the police, a rape kit was taken, she described him, but an arrest wasn't made. A few months later, she passed Anthony J. Broadwater on the street and then called police, said he was her rapist. He went to prison for 16 years. This was now 40 years ago. It was in 1981. But he wasn't eligible for early paroles because he always maintained his innocence. He has been found to be innocent. So he went to prison based off her passing him in the street and thinking that that was her attacker. And there's an article in the New York Times, Man is Exonerated in Rape Case Described in Alice Sebold's Memoir by Karen Zrake and Alexander Alter, that talks through all the details of the trial and how he came to be imprisoned for this and how he came to be found guilty, how she actually identified a different man in the police lineup. There's definitely a lot of racism at play here. And in reading about the trial and about how her identifying a different man in the lineup was glossed over in the trial, it's definitely incredibly racist, and it also highlights a system where if a young white woman says, that black man raped me, her word was just taken as gospel and completely changed the course of his life. He was 20 and he's now 60 or 61. She's apologised to him, the film's not going to be made, they're talking about perhaps even altering the book for future publication, because she talks about this as something that she was completely positive about, and it was kind of this lucky moment for her that she passed him in the street and that she got to have closure. And in her statement, she then talks about now realizing that the man who attacked her is
still out there,
may well have gone on to attack other women, possibly was never caught, was never sent to prison, has never paid any penance for his crimes. Although it's not really the thing I think you would say in an apology to a man whose life you took by putting him in prison. I found it so compelling, and I've read a lot of articles about it. And there's actually an article in The New Yorker from October 25th, 2021 by Jennifer Goneman called When a Witness Recants. And this article is about a different case. It's about a trial also from the 1980s when three black boys were prosecuted and then sent to prison for shooting another boy at school and prosecuted. So this article speaks to Ron Bishop, who was one of the witnesses, and 4 decades later he remembers it in minute detail and remembers his friend being shot. He testified that it was these three boys that he knew it wasn't, because the police wanted to prosecute and there was even mention of someone else shooting this boy. He testified against these three boys, saying that they shot his friend, and they didn't. And he has recanted his story now, and the three men have had their names cleared for this crime that they all served prison time for. Again, their lives were completely derailed. And this is a slightly different story because one of the witnesses, he was also a black man, and you read about his guilt, and it says in the piece, walking to work one day, he reflected on how far he had come. Here I am. I'm kind of successful now. I achieved some of the goals I said when I was in 8th, 9th grade. But his sense of pride vanished as another thought invaded his mind. I sent 3 innocent black men to prison for the rest of their lives. Later, he used the word breakdown to describe his mental state that day. it really has ruined his life too. And you read about the incredible pressure that he felt from the police, that they wanted to prosecute these three young men, that they wanted an outcome, and that he felt, as a black boy, that he didn't have a choice. He felt pushed into a corner, and there was another witness who felt the same way. It's the most compelling story, and the author actually goes to talk to the three men who are out of prison now and see where their life is now and see how angry they would be, because with Alice Sebold, she made a mistake. Here, Bishop knew he was lying, but he felt pushed into a corner to lie. It's so compelling. And I think both massively highlight the incredible racism in the American justice system. Just such eye-opening reads. Please do read it. It is in The New Yorker. Oh, and also, if you don't have a Christmas tree yet, I think I might rent one from Green Elf. Her collective, the fashion rental site, has got a discount code should you also want to do this. You just put her 10, H-U-R-R 10, in the checkout for 10% off. You could get a cut one, but you can also rent one in a pot that they then come and collect in January and replant.
Love that.
And then you can rent it again next year.
Oh, you don't need to worry about getting rid of it.
Great.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jazz. I think that's all we have time for this week.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have liked what you've heard, then please do rate, review, and tell your friends.
You can also subscribe to our non-existent newsletter.
It's coming back.
It is coming back. At thewingwoman.co.uk. And you can send us an email, if you want, at thewingwomanofficial@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on social media at Frankie Gradden, at Charlie Gowns, and collectively at thewingwoman_.
Perfect. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. And then it will nearly be Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
Do you
want any presents yet?
Nope.
Bye.
Bye.